Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the Audacious Appraisal. It's May, Mental Health Awareness Month, and the last month for most students in school today. As a person who has suffered through depression and as a person who has suffered through an anxiety disorder, I understand firsthand the profound effect mental health can have on a person's life. Today, we will talk about the decline in mental health for our children and the four main contributing factors. This should be an important topic for all of us. So, let's talk about it. Number one, increased screen time and social media use. When we were children, if you were my age, we didn't have a lot of the technology that kids have today. We didn't have the cell phones. We didn't have that easy access to each other and strangers around the world. Now, today, children have access to almost any knowledge that they want at the palm of their hands. Children under the age of 13 average 5 hours a day on a computer. Teens average more, closer to the number of 7 hours a day. Now, don't get me wrong. Technology is not all bad. It can't be all bad. It helps us in a lot of ways, educationally, personally, with our businesses, or whatever. It helps us a lot. But there are significant downsides, especially for children. Social media in particular is linked to an increased amount of cases in depression and anxiety amongst children, amongst all of us. There are plenty studies that show how increased screen times is associated with poor mental health in children. And that's probably because of all of the cyberbullying, the comparison, the pressure to be like the Joneses and to keep up with the Joneses or whatever the case may be, and how addictive it is. That much pressure can overwhelm a young mind. It can overwhelm an adult's mind. So of course it's going to overwhelm our children. First of all, children at these younger ages, they need more face-to-face time, because with them being on social media and whatever else with the technology for so long and day in and day out, it makes them, for lack of a better term, socially awkward. The social interactions in person is not as prevalent. They rely much more on texting, video chatting, messaging, or whatever the case may be, and less on face-to-face verbal confrontations, verbal discussions. That's not as prevalent today with the advent of social media and other platforms. This is the big reason why a lot of students have low social skills, because they don't have enough opportunities to interact face-to-face, not as much, at least again, as much as other generations have, to where in person, you know, you're learning how to notice the subtleties in the facial expressions, the tones, the body movements, those nonverbal communication forms. They're not getting that as much now because, again, their face isn't at screen most of the day. Whether that's for education or not, our kids are in the screens of their phones and their laptops much too often. And the physical activity as a result is going down. The kids are now more obese, more, you know, out of shape or whatever the case may be, because they're sitting at home on their laptops or on their phones instead of being outside. And as I stated earlier, technology does serve its good purposes, but there are many negative effects that can come when there is no balance. It's best for children, especially in this generation, to have an established routine and a balanced lifestyle. Social media and technology is an episode of its own. So we'll just move on, because we can be on this topic for the rest of the episode if we choose to. Number two is academic pressure and unrealistic standards. The pressure to excel academically has never been higher, and I'm all for academic achievement. from an early age in this generation, children are thrust into competitive environments where grades, test scores, college admissions dominate their lives, right? And especially, oh my goodness, if they're playing sports, wow. The APA, that's American Psychological Association, it says that teens now are experiencing stress levels comparative to adults without jobs. Meaning, they don't have jobs yet, but they're experiencing adult-level stress compared to those adults having jobs. So this is something that it's a delicate balance here. We really have to understand the place the children are in their lives, the time, the level that they're in their lives, and understand that we cannot or we should not be placing all of this pressure on these young minds. I know we want our children to succeed and we want them to be the best. Sometimes we want it for us more than we want them to want it for them. We want to live vicariously through our child or our children. We have to slow down, stop, and think about the effect that our actions, the pressure that we're placing on our children. We have to stop and think about it. We have to stop and think about this as a nation, not only as parents, but our children are facing so much pressure now. So many different changes from when we were coming up. We really have to be cognizant of that. This relentless pursuit of perfection that we place on our children can lead to burnout, anxiety, stress, and everything that we feel now as the adults we are at times. All of those expectations can be counterproductive. It can lead to this child or this growing adult to erode their self-esteem because they don't want to let you down. They want to make you proud. They want to succeed. And at this point, they expect to succeed at a certain level. And when they don't, then the result is mental health issues. So again, we have to be careful. Number three is family environment. There's a study that said nearly half of the children in the United States have experienced at least one childhood trauma. Honestly, I think that number is a bit higher. It has to be a bit higher because in working in education, we deal with children every day that have behavior stemming from some sort of childhood trauma that happened or is happening and stemming back from the family that raised them. And whether that be a missing parent, no parents at all, the death of a relative, of a sibling, of a parent, we have our children deal with a lot of trauma. And again, I believe that today's children deal with more childhood trauma than we dealt with, and that's not to diminish what we went through as a generation, but this generation, because there are so many new factors now, children have newer ways to experience trauma. And so, you know, that it could be the disciplining, the over-disciplining of the children, the domestic violence that they may witness, the violence in the community that they may witness now. And you know, no one is free from it, no matter what community anyone lives in or is a part of. No one is free from seeing and experiencing trauma. And I really feel for a lot of the babies that come that never seen their father, don't know if they have a father, never seen their mother, and that's trauma that I don't wish on anyone. And then we have a lot of the children are homeless, or when they get home, they don't have that third meal of the day. All of that contributes to the decline in mental health that we see with our children today. Because if you think about it, not only do these children deal with the trauma that we dealt with, they deal with the trauma stemming from the social media aspect, which again, we didn't have to deal with. These children have to deal with the social media aspect, the family aspect, the academic aspect as well. And last but not least, these children have to deal with the lack of mental health resources. Listen, I've talked about it, and I think I'll talk about it in every episode, how the government in this great nation of ours does not seem to value education the way that I think, in my opinion at least, it should. So now, because education is not being funded the way that it should be funded, positions are being cut, teachers are being cut, the ratio for teacher to students is being increased, and so in some cases and in some school districts, we have what we call SEL specialists, social emotional learning specialists, and counselors and psychiatrists and psychologists all contribute to the well-being of our children's mental, not just educationally, emotionally. So a lot of those positions are being cut because of the lack of funding. And for whatever reason, our government doesn't find it important enough to support these school districts in helping our children. So we have a lack of resources. Our parents aren't trained to deal with some of the trauma that our children end up having. And it's up to us to step into the gap. So I've also said before, we as educators, we end up wearing multiple hats. We end up wearing the hat of mom, the hat of dad, grandma, granddad, friend, brother, doctor, counselor, psychiatrist. We end up wearing all of these hats, and we do it happily. But it's much better if we have the support and the resources, the extra time for these children, because it's not getting better. The situation is not getting better. It's getting worse day by day, because the pressure that we apply to our children, we apply more and more every day. And the more pressure we apply to our children, the more situations we put them in, the worse the mental health crisis would get. Now, the mental health crisis is not only bad for our children, it is bad for us as well. But again, for me, my priority is to prioritize the children. That is my push, that is my purpose in life, is to make sure that the youth are poured into adequately, and so that they can have a bright future. If we do not contribute, if we do not support, if we do not find it important enough to support our children, to help our children, to pull them up, to give them the resources that they need, then the future of this nation can't be bright. I'm going to stay faithful and hopeful and say that we'll get it together. We'll figure it out. We'll keep pushing and keep fighting, because as me having the servant heart that I have as an educator, that's all that I have at the end of the day. If I don't have the funds, if I don't have the resources, I have to depend on who I am and the heart that I have to support these children. So that goes without saying. I have to do what I have to do, regardless of if the district or if the state or the nation decides that, hey, education is not a priority right now. For this podcast, this is the fight that I'm fighting, and I'm hoping that many of you would join me in this fight. And I don't mean by sharing this podcast or subscribing to this podcast. I wish and I hope that you do, but joining me in the fight and speaking about the crisis that we're in today, to help alleviate and find resolutions and solutions to the problems that our children are having today. Our children are experiencing things that we did not experience, guys. We have to step up. We have to let our voices be heard. We have to understand that anyone that we vote for to put in office, that we have to hold them accountable. Doesn't matter it doesn't matter what party that they are affiliated with. We need to see action. And so I would never advocate for one side or the other. I advocate for righteousness. And so whatever that looks like, that's what it is for me. Thank you guys so much for joining me today in this very important topic. Let's continue to have the discussion. Let's continue to have the conversation in the comments with each other or wherever. The more we have the conversation, the more things will get done. Okay, so let's be about that action. And remember, I like to always say this because I'm just a country boy with a podcast. Do what you want to do, but stay audacious. Don't forget to comment, subscribe, like, discuss, whatever it is that you do. And I'll see you next time. Stay audacious. Peace.